Shortly after Mr. DeVos started mentoring me, I decided to join Amway. And it was an interesting experience for me. I was planting a church in Colorado at the time. And since he was going to mentor me, I thought, you know, I want to walk his path a little while. I want to see what it was he does. Why does Amway work? Even though I knew my calling was not to be an Amway distributor. So I did. And in 6 months, I had 80 distributors that I had sponsored. In fact, I was starting to really make a lot of money, and I remember praying one night, my wife and I said, okay, are we going to build an Amway business, or are we called to plant a church? Well, remember, our goal was to do Amway to learn. And one of the things that happened, I'll never forget, was an Egyptian lady. We had them over. We were showing the network marketing plan of Amway, and we were so clear. We told people, come see our, you know, you want an option, Amway, we're in Amway. We're always up front with everybody. So we came in, this Egyptian lady left the room where the presentation was at, and my wife went to see her, and this Egyptian lady opened up our cupboards.
I'm serious.
Ah, cute. Good for her.
And she opened up the cupboards, and my wife said, excuse me, can I help you? And in her Egyptian accent, she said, I was just looking to see if you had Amway in your cupboards.
Good for her.
Now, I learned something.
That's a great lesson.
That was a huge lesson.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul writes like that. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. He said, look, in my cupboards, what I'm asking you to believe, I believe. What I'm doing, I'm asking you to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the principles that in that Amway business I learned was, it was called product use. If you're going to sell something that you yourself are not using, that is a very hollow way to promote. So in other words, if you're sharing the gospel and you say, read the Bible and pray, and you yourself are not reading the Bible and praying, and you yourself are not sharing with your family, if your family is not getting that, there's something hollow that if we proclaim that which isn't true for us. And one of the things that I've noticed that you've always shared is who you are is what you sell. Can you reflect upon that a little bit as a church planter?
Well, you know, first of all, you have got to have, whether that's in Amway or in being a church planter, you have got to be convicted of what you're selling. That's a pretty simple diagnosis.
Yeah.
But in business, you find all sorts of people who want to make a bunch of money. And their only goal is seeing how fast they can get rich and not whether they really develop the business properly to help others.
Right.
See, I say the fundamental principle in the work you do and I do is that it's you first and me second.
Mm-hmm.
First I help you and then I will come out okay.
Right.
If I'm in business, if I want to make money, I got to help you make money first. Right. Show you how to make money and help you make money. Then if I get something out of that, fine. But it's you right. first, me second.
Right.
Now, I make money and you go nothing.
Right.
Okay.
That
pattern has been done through the Amway business all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been phony church leaders who built big churches where it was all about them.
Right.
And that's where you get into that it's, you got to be some kindly, spiritually blessed with great speaking and oratorical skills and all the robes and all that. That's what you got to have to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's not the leadership. We're speaking about servant leadership,
right.
aren't we?
Uh-huh. We are.
And so, it first of all, are the people you're talking to. Right. Their success, their becoming solid Christians is important. You've got to be the example to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But your goal is not to see how much you can become a big wheel out of this,
right.
but how you can help them become better Christians so they can duplicate the process. That's right. Dedication to the total concept of building a church and presenting the gospel to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But your goal is just to present it to one person.
Right.
And help them present to another person.
Right.
And then you find another person.
Right.
That's the way we built the whole Amway business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now in 80 countries. We do over $8 billion worth of business a year. We deal with tens, well, we claim 3 million, but that means about 5-6 million people that we deal with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have dealt with, over our history of 50 years, we've probably dealt with 50 million people
mm-hmm.
that have been through this process of coming in and leaving.
Right.
But we got 3 million who keep doing it.
Right.
And the business keeps growing. And the people who came through, they added to the business while they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're gone, but that's okay. Some of them go on to do other things. Some are happier where they are. Well, it doesn't matter. We, as long as they're in our care, that we encourage them and enrich their life.
That's cool.
Not that they stayed in my church.
Right.
Or stayed in my group.
Right.
If they went on and prospered in their life in some form, I'm happy for them. But, you know, we are in the life-enriching business and life-changing business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can reach a person and help them find peace and joy and salvation in Christ, we've done the main thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to them to do more with it. And so they're not perfect, and you aren't perfect, and you won't do it perfect, and there is no perfect way to do this stuff.
You know, it's interesting what you said. You know, so you walk in your personal life, but your whole orientation is to serve them, to help them.
Yeah.
And if you can walk it, and you can help them walk it, and they're successful, you have created a very powerful agent of the gospel. And I think so many times as pastors, one of the dangers, the landmines that pastors can fall into is, look at my great sermon.
Oh, we all like to be praised for what we
yeah.
do. We all like to have everybody, when you walk out, oh, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. And we trust it was. And you may not have thought it was so good. But nothing, you know, I say a lot of things that I don't think are very good, but they hit you.
Right.
As important, because they relate more to you than they did to me, almost.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, all you got to do is keep talking and presenting what you believe. And certain people will accept it, and other people will ridicule it.
Right. I remember one of the phrases you used in my mentorship with you is, never forget, Henry, some will, some won't, so what?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that always stuck with me. And I have, when I share the gospel, and you know, yesterday, again, we were on the beach, and I talked to so many people, and some were very closed, brought up, you know, about God and the pastor, and, you know, find out where they were, and I was like, but you know, I found most were not.
Well, you see, it doesn't matter. For those right. who went like that, so what? You move on to the next one.
Right.
Yeah. You're not here to hammer into them if they don't want to hear.
Right.
You know, they got to be wanting to hear.
Right.
And if they don't want to hear, just stop talking to them. Don't embarrass yourself.
Right. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, join with others in following my example. So, you know, notice the two principles we're talking about. The one principle is we have to use the product. We have to live it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We have to open the Bible, pray, do it repeatedly. And then the apostle says, and take note of those who also live according to the pattern. In other words, who also follow the example of Christ and walk it that we gave you. So there's a sense in a church planting that I've noticed, that when like a new believer comes and they actually start reading the Bible and walk that pattern, that there's an important encouragement factor that needs to be placed in an intentional church planter plant. I remember in the Amway business, we would go to some meetings where other Amway distributors would come, and some of the sponsors and the other leaders would somehow, you know, I remember when my wife and I got, like, I don't know what level that was anymore, because this was 1995, but when we got that certain pin, we walked up front, and my wife and I felt so excited that, you know, and it really encouraged us to keep going.
Keep going.
But that same happens in church, that there's a sense, and some people have a little problem with that. I mean, you're going to, like, applaud someone who's reading the Bible and praying? You know, doesn't that, like, you know, why are you doing that? You shouldn't have to do that. You know, but yet I have found it's always important.
You applaud anything you can applaud.
There you go.
You praise whenever you can give praise. If your child comes home and he's got a C and he's only had D, you applaud a C.
Okay.
If he gets an A and he's never had an A, you applaud the A. If he always had A's, you may not applaud it because you're looking for an A+.
Right.
Because you want him to improve. But it doesn't matter. You applaud whatever. If he's got a C, you applaud a C because he did that good.
Right.
But it says, "Oh, you dummy! You know you could do better than that." You can say, "Hey, I'm proud of you for what you did."
Right.
I think you can do better, but good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Leave him with a feeling of a good job, but with the idea he can do better.
Mm-hmm.
But always applaud whatever achievement a person has. So when a person brings one person with him to church,
mm-hmm.
for them that's the first time they've ever done that.
Right.
That's worthy of the highest praise. Somebody else brings in 10, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
They do that all the time. But for somebody who brings one, that's huge. And that's mm-hmm. why in our business, if you got one sale, I used to say, get up on stage, tell us how you made that sale.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear how you did that. See, so they gain recognition and teach others who are scared to death yet
mm-hmm.
how they did that. Because they are where most of the other people are.
Mm-hmm.
Making the first sale is the most important. Making the first witness and somebody accepts Christ is the most important one. After that, all you do is do the same thing again.
Right. It's that first.
And it's just duplication.
Right. Right.
See? So that first one will give you such excitement and joy. I look at back at the people who I witnessed to are still active in the church and came to Christ and they're following God's patterns and you know, you look at it, wow, what a blessing. Now, even that one couple.
Right.
If I only had one, I got more than most.
Mm-hmm. Right. If every Christian got one,
yes.
We'd be 4 billion, not 2 billion in
yeah.
the world.
Yeah. Well, that's how we build a business.
Right.
And I don't know if it's our own fear, our own lack of confidence, or our own weak faith
mm-hmm.
that we don't talk about.
Right.
But you see, you're a church leader.
Right.
Those of you who are talking, you're a church leader. You're not one of those. You've committed to do more. Now, you're going to try and help the others do more, but whatever they do, it doesn't matter. You have a different path that you're going to go on and build a church. Now, you've made that commitment. And now you do that, whatever. For my Amway people who commit to really doing it, they would run over, burn coals, and, you know, they would, it didn't matter what anybody said. They were totally insensitive to what other people said.
Right.
Yeah. And they were not very skilled, usually.
Right.
You know, I got people who couldn't speak well, who the ones I thought would do the least, do the most.
Mm-hmm.
The slick ones do the least and talk the most.
What's that about?
You know, it's they think they can get by with their slickness, I think.
Okay.
And almost with insincerity.
Okay.
They think they're a little superior. Ooh. But you know, when you do that, you have a harder time relating to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look at you as a little too slick. They don't quite trust you if you're too good. So it's better if you stutter a little bit and you stammer and say, "Oh, I don't know that. I don't know how everything works." And then they say, "This guy's real."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, well, let me tell you how that works. You know, I got every answer.
You got
everything in the book."
Well.
See,
yeah.
This guy who came to see me the other day, he had a nice PowerPoint presentation, and here's your copy of it. And then his line at the end was one of the cutest ones I've seen. He says, "Well, if you don't want to give me $100,000, what do you think you might give?" I said, "I haven't thought about giving anything." But he called back already. See, he was persistent mm-hmm. in his pursuit of that. But it was that slick little thing. "Well, if you don't want to do that, will you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Will you do something?"
Right.
What I thought was pretty cute. But we don't need slickness.
Right.
We don't need smooth presentations.
Right.
We need sincere presentations. You see, you know, when I came to know Christ, it changed my outlook. It didn't just mean I went to church, but I found myself amongst a whole new group of people
mm-hmm.
who had hope and faith and belief and who cared about other people. Instead of the other crowd I was talking about, all I did was poke fun of other people and ridicule the poor mm-hmm. and never gave anything away to help anybody else. And now I'm with a group of people who care about each other.
Wow.
That's the difference in my life now. So choose your crowd, you know.
The Apostle Paul said, many times that I did not come with, you know, flattering words, but with sincerity, I spoke the message of Christ like a father with his children. And I've looked at that too. I am not the greatest speaker in the world, and I know that it's more about my regard for them and my care about them that God moves their heart. It is not. I learned that.
Well, that's why your blessing is so great. That's why you're a church builder. The slick guys build a church for a while, and then it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't built on sincerity and helping the others come along.
Mm-hmm.
It was their fascination with the method, with the rah-rah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mind rah-rah. I like rah-rah. I do a little rah-rah.
Well,
but I like to hear good speakers, mm-hmm, who can communicate sincerely. But then, as you talked about, they got to live that life.
Yep.
They got to show that they care about me after they've left town.
Mm-hmm. Not rent a speaker or give me a speech and go home. One of the things in church planning, Rich, is you deal with keeping leaders healthy. And we talked about the recognition of like someone who just come to Christ, and then you have them come up front. And what about the leaders? How do you recognize a leader? You have encouraged me by recognizing and encouraging me, but that culture of encouragement for leaders, how to, you know, ultimately in Amway, you encourage a lot of pretty incredible leaders, and you keep them encouraged.
How do I do that, Henry? You go to some of the meetings.
Well, one thing, you're going to get me talking a little bit here. One thing is I noticed that you're not afraid to tell them good job in front of their peers. I noticed that, you know, in terms of Amway as a business, you're not afraid to financially recognize them. In the nonprofit world, we encourage, and it's not in a monetary way, but it is still very tangible that we help them see their impact. You know, money in some ways in the business world, it seems to me, is like it measures impact. If you have this many people you're impacting, well, there's that much.
You got money. You got profit. You got bonuses that are a direct result of what you've done.
Right. And in the nonprofit world, the impact is, you know, if you've reached, you know, like for me, you know, I'm looking for elders who will join my hospitality brigade. And to me, that's a little bit of a privileged spot. And I don't invite everyone to be on my hospitality brigade. And if they're on that and they start inviting people over on a regular basis, I will mention them if I'm ever talking about hospitality in a sermon. And I say, and so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so are in the hospitality brigade.
Yeah, have your name mentioned from the pulpit.
Yes.
Blows people away.
Yeah, because they're making an impact.
And most people are afraid to do that for fear they won't do it. See, they're afraid if they do it for one, then they miss somebody.
Right.
So I can't do it for anybody.
Right.
They miss something.
Right.
So I miss somebody.
Right.
But learn to recognize. Money is a great reward.
Mm-hmm.
But recognition, I think, is sometimes a greater reward.
Mm-hmm.
In our business, we give pins and we give money.
Mm-hmm.
Having a pin and being recognized as a leader, people used to work harder before a convention so they could come with a bigger pin than they would because they made more money.
I remember my wife and I did.
Most people, the getting a recognition is maybe the finest type of reward.
Mm-hmm.
In government, people didn't used to make a lot of money. They do well today. But when they always get a little less money, but they gain recognition for what they were and the importance of their job. They get a big title. They're mm-hmm. the president, they're a secretary, all these big titles. When President Ford went in the White House, first question he asked, when do I get paid? Because he didn't have any money. He'd been in the government for 30 years at that time.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't have any money to send his son to college. I said, when do I get paid? Because I got to send the money in. Now, that's a servant. But he became the President of the United States. And when he had to pardon Nixon, he knew it might keep him from winning,
mm-hmm.
but he did anyway.
Right.
And so being the honor of what you are and your name, I talk to my children a lot about the importance of your name,
mm-hmm.
that I want to give. If I don't give you anything else, I give you a good name. That's more important than all the money I give you.
Mm-hmm.
Because with a decent name, you at least you don't have an anchor around you.
Right.
You know, a lot of people in life have an anchor. They come with a bad name or a bad parent or a bad mm-hmm. father or somebody who has brought down their name.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got to live beyond that.
Right.
I say to Billy Zioli, who's a preacher friend of mine, he said, well, I'm a preacher now. I said, you're the son of a guy in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You're the son of a crook. That's what you really are.
Right.
He said, I don't like to hear that. I said, no, but that's what you are. You're a son of a druggie. Now, you overcame it.
Right.
But you have a lot of people in life have to overcome baggage.
Right.
So if you start with a little plus, that helps you a little bit in
mm-hmm.
life. So recognition is more important than the money. So you know, honor is important to be given. And that's why when you honor people who bring new people in,
mm-hmm.
when you bring a new person into the church, you bring with them the person who introduced them to Christ to bring them to the church.
Right.
Because they're the link.
Right. So in other words, very practically, church planters, think of it this way. What you're really doing is, okay, someone brings someone to the Lord. They bring them to your church. Or they even bring them to your church and you bring them to the Lord. When you welcome yeah. that Amen. New person, don't just mention the new person. Also, mention the person that brought
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And get them to come up as well.
Amen. Amen. Because when we did that in our business all the time, so you would honor that person. But when they have that honor, then they're emboldened to do it again.
Right.
Wow. But, you know, it's sometimes I marvel at how difficult we make life.
Yeah, we make it harder than it really
well,
is.
Well, you know, if you really want to do this stuff and you want to be a church planter, then go do it. You know, all this other stuff is peripheral.
Right.
Don't let it get in your way.
Right.
If this guy says no and laughs, go on. So what? You know that. You knew that when you started.
Right.
Is that a surprise that you got a naysayer around?
No.
So you knew this a long time ago. So just keep moving forward to your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I find them all the time. I've had millions of them go out. I've had millions, tens of millions of people that we brought into our business quit.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the very reasons that you and I are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Boy, the parallels between your business and the gospel are sure close.
I used to talk with Reverend Eppinga about that from Christian Reformed Church LaGrave, you know. And he would say, well, yeah, but you got money to encourage him. I said, well, yeah, but you got to understand, it's not just money.
Right.
The other is so much bigger
yeah.
and
the
more valuable.
Culture of encouragement.
Yeah. So, but therefore, we're reluctant to do it.
Right.
We act like money is more important than the other, so we don't do the one thing we should be doing.
Right. We train people. We give them all of this education, all this like head knowledge, but just what they really need is a little bit of the feet to walk into someone else's life. They need to shake a few hands. You know, get out of
your office and start meeting some people.
Wow.
And I, you know, when a couple of people have the seminary and so forth, they said, "You've got to be into this community."
Mm-hmm.
Not into just your church community. You've right. got to be a witness to the whole community.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be the one leading in prayer at the Rotary Club or whenever event is happening, they call you to preach. You've got a 2-minute sermon to give.
Right.
And you've got to be out there representing Christ in all these situations.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to be asked if you aren't a member and if you don't come to the events to where you meet the people.
Right.
You've got to put yourself out
mm-hmm.
to bring people in.
That's incredible. Another subject I think we'll cover yet in this presentation, and that is a church planter now as a leader needs to be encouraged as a leader. We see how the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:18, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by following them you may fight the good fight.
Mm.
And what Paul was to Timothy was a mentor, and you've been a mentor to me. And I've had some other mentors in my life, and I look at when I started actively seeking a mentor, I found that my own life as a leader was supported, and I began learning and learning and learning in a way I never had learned before. What do you think about that? Every church planter, and I'm serious, this part of the presentation, you church planters out there, you students who are here, really pause and take note of this.
But the difference was you decided to find somebody, whoever they were, that you admired to hook yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
So that the first decision is that.
Right.
It's not whatever happened after that. You said, that's somebody I admire and I respect what they're doing. I want to learn from them.
Okay.
So that means you want to learn.
Right.
But most people don't want to learn.
I see.
They don't want to hang around with somebody who's done more than they have, because then they look a little shabby, so to speak. So therefore, they would rather not be in the presence of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who feel like, oh, I can't go up to him.
Right.
Why can't you go up to me? What am I? I'm just a sinner like you are.
Right.
See? But somehow that inferiority of feeling, you're going to be a church planter. You can't have that inferior feeling. You've got to have a superior feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are superior because you offer Christ everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's more important than anything I've ever done, you see.
Right.
Outside of what I do.
So
what
you're saying is that the privilege, that is a superior privilege. You proclaim Christ.
That puts you ahead of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
See, all you're learning from me is technique.
Right.
Or encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
But you already got the best thing to sell.
Mm-hmm. Christ.
So why do you have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to shy away from. You go in His courage and in His support for you.
Right.
That's your mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the feeling, fortunately, I grew up in a home where my father kept saying to me, you can do it, you can do it, you can
yeah.
do it. It was always that encouragement, even though I hadn't done anything. It was his faith in me that I could do it.
Right.
And his words were, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are words I signed when a lot of people want to say, I want your autograph. I say, sign, you can do it. I want to see that you believe I can do it.
Mm.
Now, at least in the Oriental world, that seems to be very important.
Hmm.
But it's important to everybody.
So even a pastor needs to put in his life mentors and positive encouragement and like you said, the desire to be teachable. But then to find not just the, you know, teachable is that I'm going to find this negative person who's going to correct me all the time, but finding people who are there to coach, to encourage, to pray for, and learn from. I mean, that for the church planter out there, that is an important piece in their life.
Well, you know, it's, assuming that something went wrong and you don't feel well and church isn't going well, who do you call?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you call? It's like you say, you know, in your life, you're lucky to have 5 good friends.
Okay.
And they're determined by, if you were out and you got into a bad situation, you were picked up for drunken driving and you're thrown in jail.
Okay.
Okay? Who do you call?
Right.
Who do you call to bail you out? Who will write a $500 check for you or whatever to get you out. That'll tell you how many friends you got.
Right.
That right. You can call in the middle of the night to come over and help you do something when you're in trouble.
Wow.
And who do you call? And you proclaim to the world you're going to be a church planter. Now, you made a public statement when you signed for this course that you want to be a church planter. So everybody knows, you know, all your friends know this now.
Right.
And now, if you don't do this, you're going to be marked as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fear of failure is a better driver than the desire to gain.
That's good.
See, the fact that you've got to admit, you're going to have to admit to somebody, if you don't do this thing, that you failed. And your family's going to know you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Your children are going to say, well, my father is a failure.
Mm-hmm.
He's tried to be a church planter, but he didn't succeed at that. Mm-hmm. Now he's got this job, and he lost that.
Mm-hmm.
See, and your family, you begin to, and now you know you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to let that happen to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will affect all your lineage and your family.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you're bringing up is interesting. We talk about positive encouragement. But there's also an accountability side that you are called to be a church planter, a leader, or a pastor, And I have to admit for myself, like, I don't want to be a failure. Now, I will tell you, church planners out there, if you try and it doesn't work out, and maybe your gifts aren't totally there, but you still try, and you failed at that, you've still done more than most other leaders out there. Okay, so yeah, when we want to contextualize when we talk about failure, but there is a little bit inside of you that has got its motivation to say, I want to do this, and I don't want to fail.
Yeah.
Now, if you do fail, know that you're still pretty cool because you at least tried.
Yeah.
But still, there's an, because I know that, right now we're, planting churches. We're, we did CL, Christian Leaders Institute. We're going to be launching Chrisway pretty soon. It will be for network. It will be social networking for leaders. FNAS someday is coming where we can get your people in there. We have Church U. And inside of me, too, I'm like, I want to fail at getting every means possible out there to create leaders. And that's important, if it was, because I really have to have that internal,
Well, you want, that's the desire to succeed.
Yes.
As opposed to the embarrassment of failure.
Right.
But, there's no crime in failing.
No.
There is victory in trying.
Yes.
And a failure is only the next opportunity to succeed. I failed at several businesses.
You have? You failed at businesses?
The first businesses we started, I took bankruptcy at one business. We were making ping pong tables, and that business failed.
You were making ping pong tables?
We sold stock to our neighbors and our friends, and so we had to admit failure and take a bankruptcy in our early days of starting businesses. We started a restaurant. That wasn't a very good experience
either. You mean you couldn't make good hamburgers?
I could make good hamburgers. I couldn't make any money in making good hamburgers.
That's good.
It was not. I used to say to people, everybody should have a restaurant once to get it over with. To realize how many people fail in running a restaurant.
Okay.
Running a restaurant is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks that looks easy. Because, I know how to do that. I can do that. Restaurant people who succeed are the ones who sit behind the cash register and watch everything that goes on in the restaurant. They watch the portions that are being served. They control the money. They make sure people don't get out the door without paying. That's why the owner always sits by the cash register.
Okay.
And if he doesn't sit by that, he's got a pretty big restaurant, so he can have somebody else do it, his wife. But don't underestimate the importance of your partner, your wife,
right,
or your husband. Bring them along with you.
Right.
This has got to be a joint venture.
Yeah.
If it's not a joint venture, it won't make it.
Right.
I have a pastor friend, and his wife said to me, I decided when I was in college I was going to marry a minister. Now, that's a dedicated pastor's wife.
Yeah.
And she is terrific.
Yeah.
She's a dynamite. Her husband is a great preacher, too. But that's, you may not have felt that way when you got married. You may not have, that have been the farthest thing from your mind. But if he's decided he wants to do that, you can be his encourager or you can be his destroyer.
Wow.
You have got to be behind him. And so opening your house up, your house should always be open. Your husband should always be free to bring somebody over. And if it's somebody that he just met and says, I met him on the train. He's just coming our way. Invite him over for dinner. He didn't have a place to go for dinner at night. So I brought him over and we're going to sit and chat a little bit. You always have an extra place at the table. My wife has always done that. Our home, when I grew up, was always open for any kids we wanted to bring over. We built our home in a way that they were kid-friendly. It was in the design to be open to other people to come in. You build the playroom so that they can bring their friends over. Because you'd rather have... All of my children have... Because, of course, we have some money. But they all have gyms of their own. Or they have a bowling alley. Or they have something. So that all the kids come over to their house.
Right.
So they know where their kids are. Now, but you don't have to have any of that. A card table. A pool table. I bought a pool table one day. I got a whole lecture on how a pool table can bring people to Christ. And how it bridges generations, because grandpa can play pool with his grandson and they can communicate with each other while one is shooting, the other people are shooting. More conversations take place in that setting or you talk to your grandson and witness to him and share with him. Creating a place where you can witness and a hospitality center right in your home. Anybody can do it. And you will build a church around that if you like, want to.